At the time, we were growing sugar cane, and also we had the dairy farm running at the time, but it was just about to come to an end, the dairy, and my dad put an ag note in front of me that was some research on Indian sandalwood, a crop I hadn't heard of. The figures looked promising, even though it was a 15-year crop cycle, so we decided to give a small area a go, 5 hectares, we thought we'd have a try.
And over the years, you've grown more?
Yeah, we did a bit of experimenting early, and then we had a break from it after a few failures, and then when the industry really started to hit its straps and large areas were starting to get put in, we thought, oh, this industry's here to stay, so we'll have another look at it, and started to do sort of share farming deals with family and friends, and which sort of progressed into larger areas being planted over the last 10 years.
And so after around 15 years from that initial planting, you're now in the business of harvesting. What's that been like?
Yeah, well, our first plantation, that 5 hectares, was the year 2000. So it was 15 years last year when we did a little bit of harvesting, and this year we've done double that. So, yeah, it's exciting. It's good to see some heartwood in the trees when you eventually cut them down. And you know, looking forward to the next few years as we slowly harvest this block and tinker with research and looking at different yields and percentages.
You're in your shed working with timber right now. What's this job involve?
So I've just taken a random sample from one of the tubs that we've got being exported to Taiwan, and I'm looking at what percentage of the log is actual heartwood, because that's where the money is in the heartwood, and that's the price that we get paid on. So the logs are dry now. They've been drying for 14 weeks, and so I'm weighing them and measuring the length and the diameters of both the whole log and also the heartwood to get an estimate of what the percentages might be, and then we can get a feel for what the price of the log is and how we're going compared to what we were expecting when we first planted all those years ago.
Taking this log in front of us as an example, are you happy with that?
Yeah, this the log in front of me, I'd say, is good in overall size, but also the heartwood's probably about average, probably around the 25% heartwood, maybe a bit more. Really good logs might be up to 40, and some can be down to zero. So, you know, the averages seem to be, for us at the moment, around 25%, which I was expecting 30%, but that's pretty close. So. And we'll see whether that increases over time as they get more mature.
Is there much you can do as a grower to improve that heartwood percentage?
We wish we knew. It's unfortunate that the research at the Ag Department kind of fell in a heap a few years ago, and they didn't bother to do that sort of research. It was more on the growing and getting the growth rates, because we're really not sure what's the optimal year to cut down the sandalwood. Do you double your yield if you wait another 5 years?
Yeah.
No one knows, so I'm hoping to solve some of those mysteries in the next few years to help myself and investors make better decisions on when to cut down the trees.
This timber of yours, where are you selling it to?
So we've got a local buyer, like an Australian buyer this year, and also we've got a trader who's based in Taiwan who's ordered some wood, so we're going to put out a container out of Perth, exporting it to Taiwan, which is exciting too. So hopefully he's already put in an order for next year, so hopefully his customers in China are excited about what they see, and as we ramp up production, that the demand will match it.
So what could this log here be turned into potentially over in Taiwan?
I'm not sure what they plan to use it for. I assume it's mostly going to be oil production.
Right.
You know, while the pieces, individual pieces, are big enough for carving, you know, this particular log here, the heartwood diameter is, you know, around nearly 10 centimetres. So you could make a few different things out of it, but it has got splits in it from the drying, so I assume it's all going to go to oil.
Was it worth planting Indian sandalwood all those years ago?
At current prices, yeah. It's you know, it's a big risk waiting for 15 years for some money, but I think the returns per year are around what we were hoping, and it's better than growing crops if we'd been growing crops all that time, so... I think it was a good decision. We don't know how long the prices will stay up at these levels. I assume they'll settle back down in a few years' time as more supply comes in the market, but at the moment, it's it's good prices.
So on the land that's been now cleared, do you go back in and plant more?
Well, where we're harvesting from here, we're, like I say, more research, so we're actually just doing thinning. So we're taking out about 50% and leaving the rest grow. But when the block is eventually cleared, I think it depends on where we're at with improving our genetics. And also certain blocks on our farm suit trees because they're too steep for normal crops. So I imagine those will instantly go back in. And then, you know, you'll have to make an economic decision at the time what the alternatives are for leasing or growing other new crops out there that are giving better returns. It's really just making a judgment call at the time.
And do you like doing it? First time I met you, you're a sugarcane grower. Do you like growing trees?
I actually do. I really enjoy being in the plantation, you know, the shade and the birds and the animals that are in there, but also the challenge of trying to get a good quality tree and trying to understand what gives you good yields, what leads to high growth rates, yeah, fighting back nature in terms of termites and pests like that. So I actually enjoy it more than I ever did growing sugarcane because you're pretty limited with what you could do to improve yields there.
Yep.
But here there's a lot more scope to improve things and have a high-value product that the customer will appreciate.
And what do you think it's meant for the valley to go through this phase now of not just growing but harvesting?
Yeah, I know there's a few knockers out there that think, you know, you can't eat sandalwood, so we shouldn't be growing it, but there's plenty of other crops from cotton to things that fodder crops that you can't eat either. But I think it's brought a lot of stability to the valley. You know, the sandalwood industry is probably the biggest employer in town, outside government agencies. Now that we're harvesting, there's plenty of people on each farm involved in harvesting, measuring, pruning, evaluating. I know that we've probably got three times the employees we did when we had sugarcane. We have gone from one to three or four permanents. So I think it's exciting for the valley, and you know, as with any crop, you can still pull it out any time you want if there's something better or there's a world shortage of food and the prices actually get to a point where it's worth growing it.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to grow it just for charity, and you need to earn money. So I'll keep doing this because I think it's good for the valley to have that stability, and yeah.